I sure appreciate good singing, good preaching. Amen. Thank you, Brother Harris, for letting me come and be here part of this meeting. On the way over here to the church tonight, we was listening to some good music, and Brother Daniel Waters came on for a little bit. Amen. And the Morrisons came on for a little bit, and some other good music. And so we listened to them. We sure enjoy them. Enjoy hearing the Morrisons tonight and Brother Waters. And sometimes, you know, you just need to lift up. You'll be discouraged. I don't know about y'all, but I get that way sometimes. And I know certain songs I can go to. Amen. Brother Daniel Waters got some of them. And the Morrisons and others. And we sure appreciate them. And I love good music. Amen. And thank you for the good preaching, Brother Chris. I appreciate that. And our family is praying about something real big. And the Lord, of course, it seems like I've just been waiting. I just keep on waiting. And just sit still and wait on the Lord. Last thing I want to do is get ahead of the Lord. Amen. And I don't want to do that. So I sure appreciate the good preaching. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6 tonight. Genesis 6. And look, we ain't got nothing to hang our head about, church. Amen. Some of y'all need to maybe get a little excited, a little happy. Amen. And we are saved on our way to heaven. Hallelujah. I mean, we got it a whole lot better than the world's got it. Some of y'all think the world's got it better than you got it. But they ain't got it better than you got it. Amen. We got it a whole lot better than them. And I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad I'm saved. As one preacher said, don't think about the bad things. Think about all the good things God's done. And boy, that is enough to get you shouting, amen, and be happy and thank the Lord for that. And so I sure am glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. What the Lord's done for me. And it's a privilege to be with preachers and good friends. Amen. I love it. Thank the Lord for it. And I'm grateful that Brother Harris allowed me the privilege to be a part of this meeting tonight. Genesis 6, we'll begin reading down in verse number 5. I'm not going to preach anything new. Amen. Preacher mentioned that a little while ago. And I was worried about Brother Chris, amen, when he said that. But anyway, I ain't going to preach nothing like that. And anything I'm going to say to you is something you've already heard before, but it's good for us to hear it again, amen, rehearse it in our ears again. So the Bible said in Genesis 6, verses 5 through 8, he said down there, I'm going to read, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That's a familiar scripture, seems like today, don't it? And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And the Bible said in verse 8, very familiar scripture, many preachers have preached on it, and it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? Let me pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for what we've heard thus far. And Lord, the good music and the fellowship. Now I pray for a little while you'd help me to be a help and a blessing to your people. You speak to the heart of God's people. And Lord, if there is anyone here tonight that is lost, I do pray for a Holy Ghost conviction, Lord, to fall upon their heart and their life and save their soul, Lord, before it's too late. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Look over at Genesis 1, verse number 31. You can hold your place if you want in Genesis 6. I want to read a verse there in Genesis 1. Look over there in verse number 31. Here's what the Bible says. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That's what God said, amen. Said everything he had made was very good. Now we go back to chapter number 6 and look at verse number 6 again. And the Bible says over there, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You know, it's amazing over there in chapter number 1, just a few pages back, God said everything he made was very good. But then over there in verse number 6, God is pretty much wishing he never would have made man. And dear friend, we know why. It's because of sin. The Bible said over there in Romans 5:15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So you understand, and we understand, that man destroyed what was very good. God made a perfect earth, amen? God made perfect man, perfect woman, and ain't never going to be another one, amen? But anyways, God made a perfect earth, and I say to you, dear friend, it took one man to destroy that, and he messed the whole thing up, and after a few hundred years, however long it was, it got to where God said, I wish I wouldn't have even made them, amen? It got so bad. And so then one man messed it up, and another man named Jesus, amen, is the gift of grace, and the Bible talks about how it hath abounded unto many. In other words, dear friend, tonight, can I say to you, the Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I say to you, man messed it up. God said it was good, and then man destroyed it all, and then God's got that verse right there in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Where would we be if it wasn't for grace? You've heard it many times. The Bible said in Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. Grace is that free, unmerited love and favor of God. It is the spring and source of all benefits men receive from him. It is God's forgiving mercy. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Amen. I like the song, grace, grace, grace. God's grace. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God. You know, if it wasn't for the grace of God and there never would have been grace down through the ages, I'd hate to see what this world would be like today. We already know that God said it was going to be like it was in the days of Noah, and I got to believe that probably we're living, no doubt, in them days. But I say to you, dear friend, as bad as it is now, if there never would have been no grace, I doubt any of us would have made it where we are now. I can only imagine the ungodliness that ran rampant, that would have been running rampant now had there not have been no grace. But grace is undeserved mercy. So the source of grace, here's your little outline. The source of grace is God's love. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The channel of grace is Christ. And John 1:17 said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The instrument of grace is faith. He said in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not faith in a thing, or faith in something that you and I maybe have done, but faith in a person and faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I could take you tonight to the place where grace happened in my life. I'm talking about to the spot, amen? It was up there in Michigan. I was visiting my uncle. I'm sure I've told that testimony here before. And my uncle was preaching. Terry Kendrick sitting here tonight. He was a preaching, amen. And I got under conviction, amen. Brother Chris, I was sitting about the second row from the back in that church of that day. And I walked forward and got up there in the front. And my uncle walked down, took a Bible, and showed me how to get saved. And I can take you to the spot, dear friend, where grace took place in my life. And I'm so glad that we live in the day of grace. You know, the law is do and live. But grace is believe and live. There's a difference between law and grace. It's like the difference between blood and wine. Blood is a picture of death. Wine is a picture of life. It's like the difference between darkness and light. All the law can do is produce darkness. But God's grace produces light. It's like the difference between death and life. The end of the law brings death, and Jesus came to bring life because he is the life. As a matter of fact, the first time the law was ever proclaimed, 3,000 were killed. And the first time grace was ever preached, 3,000 were saved. It's like the difference between stripped and clothed. The law passes by one that is stripped and robbed, but grace clothes and pours in oil. It's like the difference between seek and save. The law says to seek and do, and grace came to seek and to save. And it's like the difference between do and live and do. In other words, the law says do and thou shalt live. Grace says it is finished. It's like the difference between a servant and a son. The law said to Moses, put off thy shoes because of holy ground and because he was a servant. But grace said to the prodigal, put on thy shoes. Why? Because he was a son. The law says this, keep off, bow the knee, punish him, strip him, kill him, do. You know what grace says? Grace says embrace him and kiss him and forgive him and give him the best robe and make alive and provide. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. Amen. You know, the law would demand holiness, but grace will give holiness. The law would say, cursed is the one that continueth not in the things written in the law. But grace says, blessed is a man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. The law says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and the mind and strength. Grace says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. The law says, sacrifice year by year continually. You know what grace says? Grace says, Jesus offered one sacrifice for sin forever, and it is finished. The law says, whoever sins under the law is judged by the law, which is death. But grace says, there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, which is life. I say to you, thank God for grace. Amen. He said in Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. May I say to you, dear friend, he's a showing it. Hallelujah. I say, dear friend, it's either works or grace, but it's never both. In Romans 11:6, the Bible said, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, let me put it real simple for you. It's not what you did and what he did. It's not what you do, amen, it's what he's done. The Bible said in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, amen. In other words, may I say to you that grace is for all. Because salvation is for all. Amen. The children of Israel sinned against the Lord. You know what they did? They'd bring a bullock. If they sinned individually in holy things, they'd bring a ram. If they sinned in ignorance, they would bring a lamb. If they sinned that way, they could bring a kid or the goats. If they couldn't afford that, they could bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. And if they couldn't afford that, then they could bring fine flour with no oil and no frankincense. You know what God's saying? God's saying in his Bible, he's saying anybody can have grace. Doesn't matter who you are. You read over there in Leviticus 4 and Leviticus 5. You know what you'll find? You'll find them bringing those sacrifices and shedding that blood of those animals and getting forgiveness of sins. And in other words, God was showing them grace even during that time. But then he said to us in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer himself without spot. In other words, there's a whole lot more grace today, dear friend, than there was through the washing of animals' blood. But now we got God's blood. Amen. Thank God for grace. But we read in the Bible about Noah. And I know it's a familiar story. But Noah, the Bible said, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, Noah was to cover the outside and the inside of that ark with pitch, which is a type of atonement. And to atone means to cover with blood. Therefore, the pitch protected those that were in the ark from the judgment of the flood. And the blood, dear friend, of Christ, it protects the believer from the judgment of sin that is coming to the world. And I say to you, dear friend, grace has always been, even way back in Genesis. Now, in order to understand, dear friend, how bad it really was, and to understand the grace that God really showed them, I think we ought to understand how wicked it was in Noah's day. I'll give you a little background on Noah. Noah's day was a day of licentiousness raging, which is an excessive indulgence of liberty. Noah's day, they did whatever their wicked flesh desired. And they did it excessively. They did it with, and the gratification of their sensual desires led to a violation of the law of marriage and humanity. You got Lamech, the Canaanite, who became a polygamist. Therefore, the sons of God, captivated by the charms and beauty of women, cast aside the bonds of self-restraint and took them wives of all whom they chose. They married ungodly women, beautiful, sensual, talented, and accomplished women like the Adas and the Naamas and the Zillas of the race of Cain, but unbelieving and ungodly they were. They married to please their flesh, not caring about the qualification of their partner's spirituality, and fixing their eyes only on what charmed their fleshly physical desires. They married as many wives as they desired and was with as many as they desired. Sensual sexual filth was running rampant everywhere you turned. Violence was widespread throughout the land. The sins of Cain are now passing over to the seed of Seth. The world was being overrun with tyrants, and sheer brute force was the ruler and only had one code of moral was this: be strong. Mere physical strength, colossal stature, immense bulk were sought after to rule and to control. Those who begin breaking the laws of God are not likely going to be keeping the laws of man. Moral purity had been long gone. Therefore, the laws of man were not cared for. They were guilty of murder and stealing and raping and incest and cruelty and drunkenness. And anything imaginable to man is the way they lived. The man's road to fame was displaying yourself in brute force, shedding the blood of whoever was in your way. The woman's road to fame and acceptance was sexual attraction and physical beauty. Boy, doesn't that sound like today? I mean, this was a world of humanism. It was all about whatever self wanted. They did whatever it took to get it. The world was so bad, dear friend, that God's plan was to annihilate the entire race. And one commentator said it this way, and I quote, complete supremacy of evil. Evil in the imaginations, evil in the thoughts, evil in the hearts. He said nothing but evil. And that not temporarily, but always, nor in the case of one or two individuals merely, he said, but in the case of all, with one solitary exception, which was Noah. Noah, a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amongst the world, are you listening, church, that was totally gone? A place that cared nothing about God or anybody else, only what their wicked flesh desired. Boy, that sounds so much like today. Why would God care about one man? And, I mean, you think about it. He could have taken Noah just like he did Enoch. I mean, he could have let the rest of the world die and go to hell. But, dear friend, he didn't because of one attribute of God, and that is God's grace. Amen. And God said this. He said, it repenteth me that I have made man. I mean, he wishes he'd have never made man. It was so bad. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, the grace that the world needed was found because of one man. And God was so sick of the sin that he told Noah, the flood's coming. I want you to build an ark. And during this time of building the ark, God had to wait for Noah to build that ark. You know what that is? That's grace. That's long-suffering. You understand, God gave Noah the wisdom, must have been a very, very smart man, and God gave him the ability to build that ark, and I don't know how long it took him. Some people can tell you how long, but I don't know if they really know. I mean, some say it's 5 years, some say 25, some say 75, some say 100, but really, I don't know if anybody really knows, but one thing I do know is it took a while, amen, and so during that time, we find God showing grace, amen, and long-suffering, and God's waiting for that ark to be built, and when the ark is built, and then God gets all those animals in there, amen, and then God called Noah into the ark, and then the Bible says he waited 7 more days before he shut the door. You know what that is? That's grace. I mean, it was an open door for anybody to come. They could come into the ark. And I got a feeling, I don't know how it was, but I got a feeling, dear friend, that that crowd was probably no doubt laughing and mocking. I'm sure they were. I mean, they ain't never seen rain before, you understand? They didn't know what was going to happen. He's trying to tell them what's going to happen. And they're laughing and mocking at the man and his family. I can see some of them as they probably walk up there to the door of that ark and maybe looking in from the outside. There's a lot of people like that out there today looking in from the outside. But anyways, they's looking in from the outside, probably laughing and mocking at them, telling how long you're going to stay in there. It ain't going to rain day one, day two, day three, all the way up to day seven, dear friend. May I say to you, dear friend, that they could have come inside the ark anytime they wanted to come in. Nobody's stopping them. And here's what the Bible said in Genesis 7:1. You find the first time God ever used the word come in Scripture. And it says this, and the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. And the reason we know is because the Lord was already inside. And the final time that the word come is used is in Revelation 22:17. And the Bible said, and let him, it says this over there, and the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Let him that is, he said that, I'm sorry, I lost my place. Let him that hears say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will. He said, let him take the water of life freely. So we find right before the judgment of the flood, he said this, come. That's grace. And right before the judgment of the world, you know what he says again? Come. You know what that is? That's grace. And I say to you, dear friend, right before the door of the ark is closed, he's telling the world, come. And he waited seven more days. Anybody that could come in, all they had to do was walk inside the door of that ark. That's all they had to do. They didn't have to do anything else, dear friend. And then God closed that door, and what happened? Judgment fell. And I say to you, dear friend, of course we know that Jesus is the door. He said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in out and find pasture. I say to you, dear friend, there's coming a day that the God of heaven is going to shut the door of heaven. Amen. And there ain't nobody else getting in. And when that happens, judgment's coming. Now, why did God not let you and I fall off into hell before we got saved? The only reason is grace. Why does God let some breathe his air and walk on his earth even though they're not saved? The answer would be grace. Why does God allow some blessings into the life of people when we don't even deserve the blessings? The reason is grace. Why does he allow us to serve him when we don't deserve to serve him, church? It's grace. Why does God put up with all of our faults and all of our failures and all of our messes and all of our sins? I say to you tonight, it's grace. Grace, 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 God's grace. Noah's family live because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we live tonight because we got grace, friend, that came through the Lord Jesus Christ. I say hallelujah to God. Thank God for grace. Where would you and I be tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God? Boy, I could have easily went another way. Yeah, man, I could easily went the wrong direction. Had an awful life. I mean, I grew up over there in Pensacola and Milton Air and Pace area. I could have easily, dear friend, just kept on living the old country boy life, running the streets and the rivers and the beaches of Florida, living like a devil, amen. Probably would have been divorced two or three times by now, Brother Chris. I'd have probably had kids, dear friend, all over the place. My kids probably would have had kids out of wedlock. I can tell you right now, there'd have never been no Kendrick family singing, that's for sure. There'd have never been no preacher traveling the country and preaching, that's for sure. But the only reason I get to enjoy that tonight is because of the grace of God. Thank God for grace. Well, let's take a few minutes and look at some that had grace. I like the story of Abraham. Boy, that's a good one. Genesis 22. Over there, he wanted a son for years, didn't he? And Ishmael, Ishmael was Abraham's way. That was the wrong way, amen. You want to talk about be still and sit down and be quiet and wait, amen. Abraham had to. I mean, he had to wait for a long time, and then at 100 years old, that promise finally came. I'm telling you, dear friend, some years later, you know, God told him later on, after he had that boy, he had Isaac, and some years later, God said, take your son, not only son, offer him for a burnt offering. Can you imagine that walk? Can you imagine, dear friend, I've sat in my office and tried to think about that and imagine Abraham. I don't know exactly how far some of you men might know, but I don't know exactly how far Abraham had to walk, but I know he had to look, and I know he saw that mountain, amen. I know he saw Mount Moriah over there off in the distance. And I say to you, dear friend, and he goes to that place and he builds that altar and he lays that wood in order, and in his head he don't understand what's going on. And then he takes that boy and he binds his son and he lays him up on
the altar and he took the knife and got ready to slay his own son, and God stopped him. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and said, the Bible said he looked and a ram was caught in the thicket. Amen. I mean, that ram was there before he ever got there, I believe. Waiting on him. I'm talking about Abraham coming up one side, that ram coming up the other side. Amen. And I say to you, the sacrifice was already provided. You know what that is? That's a picture of the grace of God. Amen. That place is Mount Moriah. It's the place we call Calvary. Amen. And I say, thank God again for grace. You know what Isaac was? Isaac was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. So was Jesus Christ. Isaac doesn't fight his father, but is willing to do his father's will. Jesus said this, not my will. He said, but thine be done. Isaac and Rebekah's marriage is a type of Christ and his bride. Isaac married one of his own kindred. So the spouse of Christ is of the same flesh that he assumed. Rebekah was wooed by his father's servants. And so is the spouse of Christ wooed by his father's ministers. She decided to forsake all her friends and all her family for Isaac. So believers today are willing to forsake all for Christ and all this world has to offer. She was given gifts and adorned with jewels when she came to meet Isaac. And so the Lamb's bride, amen, that's us, shall be richly blessed and gloriously adorned to meet Jesus Christ when he comes to receive his bride to himself. She came to meet Isaac. And can I say to you, dear friend, so shall we meet him one day in the air. Hallelujah. Why? Why would we ever deserve such glorious honor, church? Hey, I mean, don't get too excited about it. Why would he care for us? Why would he show you and I grace? We deserve really to die that sacrificial death. We deserve the flames of hell. We deserve to pay for our sin. But the sacrifice has already been provided. God the Father chose his son to die in our place. That's grace. I like Zacchaeus. I won't say everything about Zacchaeus, but you find Zacchaeus over there in Luke 19. You know, Jesus walked through a cursed land called Jericho because the gospel is more powerful than any curse. And he walked on his way to raise a dead man called Lazarus. And he took the time to stop and save a lost man called Zacchaeus. That nobody, are you hearing me? That nobody thought deserved salvation. I mean, nobody liked him. He's a tax collector. And he robbed him. But I remember when Jesus passed by my way one day. I had no idea that that would be the day that he would come to dwell with me. I had no idea, dear friend, that that would be the day that he would show me what I really was and that conviction would fall on my heart. I had no idea. You understand? I was minding my own business, just going to church like you're supposed to do. And I had no idea that the grace that I was about to experience and receive. May I say to you tonight that Jesus came to a cursed world for us. He died a cruel death for us. He arose from the dead for us. And then he called us. And then he saved us, and now he dwells with us. And there are people that thought that we were not worthy of his salvation. They knew what you and I were. But I say to you, dear friend, doesn't matter what they knew, and it doesn't matter what we were. Amen. There's a God in heaven, amen, that gave us grace. What about that woman at the well? Over there in John 4, dear friend, Jesus answered and said unto her, he said, if thou knewest the gift of God, I like this, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him and he would have given thee living water. And here's what she said in southern language. You don't even have a bucket. He don't need a bucket. He's the living water, amen. He don't need a hallelujah. He's the one, dear friend. And I say to you, dear friend, he has all the water she needs. He has all the forgiveness she needs. He has all the love she needs. He has all the grace that she needs. In other words, he's all I need, amen. He's everything you and I need. He's the best thing that's ever happened to any of us. And I say to you, dear friend, I believe, dear friend, that God showed her that grace and gave her that grace because he knew that, dear friend, she's going to run back to a city, amen, and tell them all about the grace of God. And then that city was going to come back out there to him. And dear friend, that whole entire city, dear friend, was going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And today the world is hung up on the things that they think you have to do to get saved. Or the lifestyle they're living they think is hindering them from salvation. Therefore, they feel that they have to get better outwardly before they can get saved inwardly. The truth is, this woman's life was a wreck. Yet Christ was willing to give the living water or the grace that was needed to fix her life and change her destiny. And not just hers, but eventually for many more in that city. And the same is true for the world today. It matters not, dear friend, what you're involved in. As long as the Holy Ghost of God is calling you to salvation, you can still receive that grace. Amen. Dear friend, he is so willingly to give. He is so willing to give you that grace. It is so simple. I wonder who would receive the same grace. I wonder who it might be tonight if you're here, or maybe you're listening by way of internet and you're not saved, and if you died, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. I say to you, dear friend, as easy as it was for that woman, dear friend, to believe on the Lord, it's just that easy for you. And just as easy as it was for that person in Noah's day, all they had to do was just walk up there on the ark. Oh, dear friend, man makes it so hard. I'll give you this quickly. Brother Chris preached on Ruth, but my last little point is Ruth. I mean, because I believe the story of Ruth is one of the greatest pictures of grace in the Bible. I mean, you think about this Naomi. I mean, think about it. Naomi showed grace to her daughter-in-laws by telling them the truth and releasing them of any duty. Ruth showed grace to Naomi by returning with her to a strange land. Boaz showed grace to Ruth, who did not deserve it. And then we find God showed grace to all three of these people by giving them something that every one of them needed. Now, friend, I'm just going to hit the points, but in Ruth chapter number 2, you'll find over there in verses 1 and 2, we see that Ruth sought after grace. She came to the place in her life where she knew she's never going to make it unless someone showed her grace. And I say, dear friends, she has already been married once. She has no name. She has no money. She's come from a bad place. I mean, she's admitting, dear friend, that she needed grace. She came looking for grace. And I say to you, dear friend, if anybody knew that they needed help and they needed grace, it was Ruth. And so we find Ruth as seeking after grace. And then over there in verses 8 through 10 of the same chapter, we find that Ruth found grace. I mean, Boaz told her over there, he said in verse number 8, he said, hey, there's plenty here, amen. He told her in verse number 9, there's protection here, there's provision here. In other words, he's saying everything you need is right here in me, amen. You don't need to look to any other. You found all the grace that you've been looking for, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying to the world today. Hey, I'm everything you need, amen. I'm your protection, I'm your provision. I got plenty. I own the whole entire world. I'll take care of you. I'll wash you. I'll forgive you of all your sins. I say to you, different, he's the answer. And then we find over there in Ruth, in verses 14 and 16, we see Ruth experience grace. I mean, all she knew and experienced was sin. You understand? All her whole entire life had been nothing but destruction, nothing but heartache. It'd been a life of struggle and death. And now we find that she has found grace and she is overwhelmed with the grace that she is experiencing. Now she is sitting with the reapers, you understand? I mean, Boaz is personally making sure that she's got plenty. Ain't that just like our Lord, amen? I mean, she's gleaning amongst the sheaves. You understand, church? She's not out there in a hot field in some corner somewhere over there by herself. No, she's right there, dear friend. gleaning amongst the sheaves and the workers. She's receiving handfuls of purpose. Can I say to you tonight that she's getting more than she ever asked for? She's getting more than she ever deserved. Is that not you and I? If you're a saved person tonight, I say to you, dear friend, you ought to be able to say, hey, that's what he did for you and me. We're experiencing grace. He's given us more than we ever asked for, more than we ever thought we deserved. I'd say to you tonight, I never dreamed I'd get to do what God lets me do. I'd never dreamed I'd get to have what God lets me have. I don't deserve it. People see it and shake their head and wonder how in the world. Only way I can tell you is there's somebody up there on the other side, amen, whose name is Jesus. He is my heavenly Boaz, amen. And everything I have and everything I get to do is because of the grace of God. And for the last 30 plus years, I have experienced grace. First, it was justification grace. Second, dear friend, it was sanctification grace. And one of these days, hallelujah, it's going to be glorification grace. In other words, dear friend, and that is grace, grace, grace. God's grace. We find that Ruth sought after grace. She found grace. She experienced grace. And then in chapter number 4, we see Ruth married grace. Brother, you can come to the piano. I'm done. May I say to you, she's not gleaning in the fields anymore. She's not poor and in debt anymore. She's not under bondage anymore. She's not living a life of heartache anymore. She's not worried about death any longer. She is now married to the Redeemer. She has been justified, sanctified, and glorified all in one shot. She's got a new home. She's got a new family. She's got a new future. As a matter of fact, it's all been settled under grace. And you know, can I say to you, dear friend, that is a perfect picture of you and I tonight. It's all been settled under grace. And one of these days, he's coming to get us. I'm talking about the bride of Christ. Thank God. Here's what he said, bro. You can play when you're ready. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Anybody. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ said, be with you all. You know, I can say to you tonight, preacher, I could still be lost in sin. I could have easily gone a different direction. Could have went another way. I could be out there living a life of destruction and heartache and misery. But for the grace of God, God's grace. Have you ever experienced it? Have you ever felt that grace of God in your life? I mean, if you died tonight, do you know for sure you're saved? The best thing this old boy right here did is at the age of 19, whenever I bowed my knee and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. From that day, Brother Chris, it ain't been the same. Total change. Total change. Oh, no, I'm not perfect. I got plenty of people I probably made mad around the country, no doubt about it. I ain't perfect. I'm flesh just like everybody else is. But I sure am glad for grace. If you've never experienced it, it's as easy as walking on a boat. All you got to do is come to him. Let's all stand. Father, we sure love you. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, how I pray that God, you'd do a work in the heart of God's people. That, Lord, we would be grateful and thankful for what Jesus has done for us. Dear Father, it's so easy to listen to the lie of the devil and bellyache and, Lord, be upset and mad about all the problems of life. But, dear Father, we do got it good, Lord. Oh, how we got it good for the grace of God. Thank the Lord for the grace of God. Father, we sure love Jesus. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. I wish I'd have done better for you, Lord. I'm sorry, but dear God, I'm so thankful for you. That's really all I could think about the last few days is, Lord, this message, and just so thankful for what God's done for us. I love Jesus. I love him with all my heart. And Lord, I want to please you and serve you. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. Do a work, I pray, in this place. Fill them with power. Help Brother Harris preach and lead with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray that, Lord, you'd fall upon this meeting this week with the preachers tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, Lord Jesus, and Thursday. And oh, how I pray that, Lord, the sweet Holy Ghost of God would show his presence here. We sure love you and praise you and thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name.
As he plays, the altar's open. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart.